Welcome back, everybody. Good morning, world. Good morning, Wisconsin. Welcome to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. It ain't got Melissa and Seth here. Melissa and James here.
Did you forget who you were for a second?
Trying to clear my voice because my voice is going on me. And I just called myself Seth.
Yep. Yes, you did.
I've never felt smarter.
Or you imagine Seth was here. I don't know. Could have been that.
Maybe. I do know who is here. Our good friend Michael Caro with the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning. You got my name right.
Yes, at least I got the important one right. I got the important. Michael, what has Mother Nature got in store for us today?
Well, a fairly quiet forecast, a little bit on the cooler side of out there for today. It's struggling to even top that 50-degree mark, and we'll be stuck with some cloud cover out there for today as well, but at least looking to stay dry with some light west winds only up to around 10 miles per hour. Then for tonight, still holding on to that cloud cover, overnight lows dropping back into the mid-30s, but finally some sunshine making a return for your Wednesday and a few degrees milder. We're back up to a high of 51 degrees there for tomorrow with northwesterly breezes 5 to 15 miles per hour. That gradual moderation in the temperatures continues into your Thursday. We'll be closer to the mid-50s for high temperatures, at least a few peaks of sunshine. Upper 50s then returning for highs on your Friday with lots of sun to wrap up your work week and still looking to stay dry into your weekend as well. Saturday into your Sunday looking at upper 50s for high temperatures. Just a very slight chance for maybe a spotty shower on your Halloween Monday. Not looking overly promising at this point, so fingers crossed for a dry Halloween forecast there on Monday with highs fairly seasonable for this time of year, working up into the mid-50s. For the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Appreciate it, Michael. Nice. Yeah, not a bad
day.
You too. Have a good one. A big thank you to Michael and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center for joining us. We always appreciate it. You can look forward to that every Monday through Friday in the 8 o'clock hour. Yeah, Mother Nature is just kind of like, it seemed like she just hit repeat this week. Like, yesterday's weather worked. Let's do that again.
Let's do that again. Why not?
She got the week off. Is that it? Does she do it? She just put it on autopilot? Like, just hit, you know, just then
gearing
autopilot.
Up for what's next.
We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club a little bit later. We're also going to get into the 5 health benefits of eating pumpkin. Right now, this is an interesting one. We either think way too highly of our pet's brain power or don't think much of the average person's intelligence.
Ooh.
Maybe a little column A, little column B. Who knows?
Could be.
61% of cat and dog owners think that their pet is smarter than the average person. Smarter than the average bear. 61%. Smarter than the average bear.
Wow.
According to this new poll, around 80% said that their pet is at least as smart as another person. The survey also found one in four have referred to their pet as their child, and one in three have called themselves their pet's mom or dad. 81% said that they treat their pet the same way that they treat an actual child. 57% will buy them gifts for the holidays, and 40% dress them up in the clothes sometimes. Do you change their diapers? Do you have to calm them down to put them to sleep? Like, they are not your child. They're not your child. You didn't give birth to them. Like, if you call them your kid, I have no issue with that. You call yourself mom and dad in them. It's actually a hierarchy thing with dogs in particular, but cats too, but more so dogs, where that actually is helpful to them. Mm-hmm. Mom, dad, they feel like especially if the parents have kids, it makes makes the dog understand the hierarchy as well as feel like a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get it twisted. I mean, there's a big difference. The most common things we dress them in are costumes, sweaters, and jackets. But 23% of people who have dressed up a pet have put them in formal wear before, like a dress or a tuxedo for a wedding. A separate study just found that treating our pets like kids might not be that crazy, though. Researchers at Oregon State found that there are three main types of pet parents, and they closely resemble the three main types of actual parents. The three types are high expectations and hands-on, high expectations but hands-off, and hands-off with low expectations. They didn't look at the best way to parent a cat, but for dogs, having high expectations and being hands-on seems to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs in that group were more social, less scared, and better at solving puzzles.
They like attention.
Yeah, they were more well-rounded, had a bit more brain power, it seemed, or at least more use of their brain in problem solving and that. So I don't think that's necessarily bad. But again, this is why there's a difference between cats and dogs and kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the researchers find that having the high expectations but hands-off tends to be, quote unquote, the best way to parent. I say that quote unquote because, as I said before, everything is a case by case.
Right.
And I'm not going to tell parents what to do. If you are not that, I'm not saying that you're doing it wrong. It's just your kid may thrive in that, you know, with more hands on and more rules. Or your kid may thrive with being a little less low expectations and a little hands off.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? If my mother had tried to be a helicopter mom, I don't think we would have the relationship we do. That's how I was as a kid. She knew, both my parents knew, oh, that's our kid. We know we're rebellious. He's not going to be much better. It actually, they did a good number on me with that because I actually ended up being more rule balanced with them than anybody else in my life because, not just because they're my mom and dad, but they had such they have such a high respect for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect them so much. But they didn't do that because they beat me or because they had these strict rules that I applied to or I followed. It was more about I learned from a young age they trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of built from there.
There's a lot to be said for showing respect. If you want to receive respect, you need to show respect.
It seems weird. It seems a little silly sometimes, but it's key to that relationship of you and your child. Your child is not going to remain a child forever. When they become adult, do you want to have a good relationship with them? Some of that stuff, that early work, is where that comes out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid calls you when they're 25 because you had a good relationship with them when they were 5.
Yeah.
I do think, though, going back to the beginning of this conversation, the beginning of this article, it makes us wonder sometimes, society. You know, we see some brilliance all the time. We've got an article a little bit later about or we may do later in the week about these kids that found a new way to recycle in these kind of things, and they're not even 18 yet. Things like that we've seen the mind do, and then we've seen statistics like 6% of the population believes that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. So I'm not going to push against this too much. You may be right. Maybe your dog or cat is smarter than that person. I don't know. But it is kind of an interesting thing to think of, too.
Well, then humans have a tendency to personify other things or animals, what have you. I don't know. I'm not one of those pet owners.
Yeah.
I'm not a pet owner, so I really can't speak to it.
I can say as a pet owner, there's... you know, when I go through my morning routine, going through the news and seeing what broke overnight or any of those things, and I've mentioned this before, I get done and it's a bit of a, you know, I need a bit of a palate cleanser and stuff. The world does that to me. The people in the world do that to me. It's outside of situations do that to me. When's the last time I pulled up the news and I read something? Man, I can't believe these dogs are doing that again. These crazy dogs. These crazy cats. Do you see who they voted for? I can't believe this. This is insane. Dogs, cats, animals don't do these kind of things. Do they chew our, scratch the side of the couch?
Yeah.
Or go in the house sometimes or these things? Yeah, and it's annoying. But you get over it and you move on. It's a lot harder to get over things that your fellow human beings do.
Right.
So you more and more become maybe a little bit more of an animal person or liking animals more than people or what have you. Or maybe you just like both equally. But you have it's hard because animals don't have a any necessarily dumb stuff that we apply to them, even though we've seen, you know, dogs eat their own stuff before and things like that. But still, we don't judge them for this necessarily. Well, where human beings, we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're animals.
It's easier to dislike human beings than it is animals.
Mm-hmm.
Thesis here.
Humans are far more complex.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
Yes. I mean, who wouldn't love something that just as soon as you walk in the door comes rushing up to you and just wants to greet you and tell you, you know, how much they missed you and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like a great thing. It sounds like an awesome thing every day you come home. Humans.
So we should be more like dogs?
I actually think dogs should be more like us. No, I'm joking.
just contradicted everything you just said.
I know, okay. It was funny in my head. It was funny. I do think we could do a better job of treating each other better, giving each other grace.
And more dog treats.
And, you know, wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt to carry around people treats. You know, if somebody holds the door open for you, hey, good job. Here's a piece of gum.
Have a peppermint.
You can't. You can do that. Even that, I don't know if you could do it in today's age.
Probably
I don't know.
Not.
But you dang sure can't pet them. Like, don't do that. Definitely can't do that.
No,
one.
Not acceptable.
Melissa, I thought this was kind of interesting considering our earlier discussion as well. This comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. Do want to send a big thank you to the reporter in this article here, Andy Corbley. This came out last month, actually, but it was one we didn't miss. Not only did we miss, I didn't see anybody talking about this. And I'm not saying it should be like opening story or anything like that, but I think you would have heard something about it. Domino's are now delivering their pizzas in boxes on which are printed specific recycling instructions for the customer's area.
That's awesome.
It is not cheap to do this, so they deserve credit for that.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly insightful to not just try to make this one umbrella kind
blanket
of thing.
But yeah, by community, because it's different everywhere in the United States.
Believe it or not, literally billions of corrugated cardboard pizza boxes have gone unrecycled because both consumers and recycling companies believe that there were leftover grease, sauce, and cheese might gum up recycling machinery or weaken the bonds of the recycled paper material. So great was the confusion that the company that makes Domino's pizza boxes, West Rock, commissioned a study to see if boxes made up of 20% pizza grease by weight would somehow harm the recycling process. No difference in machine function or chemical bondage of recycling paper material was observed, despite the fact that they used an unrealistically greasy box. Even the greasiest pizza can only manage to alter 2% of total box weight.
Wow.
With that cleared up, Domino's is now printing everything someone needs to know to recycle their pizza box right into the box, including tidbits like grease does not impact your recyclability, and 70% of Americans have access to pizza box recycling. If those don't have curbside pickup paper recycling or a QR code on the box, will direct the consumer to infrastructure nearest to them that will take the pizza boxes.
Wow.
Going the extra mile, Domino's recycling website includes details on how to get in contact with recycling facilities to ask whether or not they accept boxes, as are only 27% of companies in the U.S. explicitly mention they accept pizza boxes or don't.
Okay. Well, and some of that could be due to that information, thinking that grease breaks it down.
Yeah.
So good on them.
It's a great example of a company going way out of their lane to help ensure sustainability of their product, which is already made from recycled materials. Every Domino's box already is.
Right.
And you and I, and more so you, because I commend you on this, have really been trying to hold these companies accountable, holding their feet to the fire. You know, I've gone as far as to say that I'm not using my dollars on them anymore. I'll use them on Domino's. I'll do it with them. It's the exact opposite when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
Then I will support them overwhelmingly.
Because they're going above and beyond.
Yeah. And being very transparent about the situation, being very honest about the situation. Hey, we were not correct about this information. We've since tested it. Turns out pizza grease, okay. We're going to try to make up for this. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to give you the information. You don't even have to Google this stuff. We're putting it right in your box. Read it while you're eating your slice.
And I said, they're going above and beyond. Shouldn't every company be doing that?
Absolutely.
Every company that makes something that is going to end up in a landfill or in the ocean if it's not recycled or properly disposed of should give their customers the information they need on how to dispose of it.
This is a featured good story of the day, not just with us, on the Good News Network, on other networks here, and it shouldn't be. It should be a very common story. Should we talk about it, mention it, give them credit? Yeah. But it would be like, well, where have you been, Domino's? Other companies have been doing this for you.
They're the forerunner of this.
Right.
Biggest, I would say, because there are probably other smaller, sustainable companies that are already doing something similar to this or making their things out of, you know, compostable. That can be composted.
Compostable. Yeah, it's kind of a fun word.
But you know, but this, they're doing it, and they're a big company.
And I think that it is kind of interesting that a pizza company, a fast food pizza company, is ahead of the game on all these other companies, including some that talk a lot about being green and don't really do it to back it up. Nope. So I find that very interesting. A big credit to Domino's on that. That is pretty cool.
Good on you.
Yeah, way to be. And good pizza. Well, I like their pizza. I do.
If I ate pizza, I'd maybe have an opinion, but I don't.
Right. I didn't think so. Yeah. Take a break. Come back. We'll get into Misty's menu, birthday and anniversary club, and got plenty more coming up for you right here at Mornings at WFHR.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear AOL buddy. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, thank you, Zoe. Friend of the show, everybody, Zoe Deschanel. Friend of the show. Thank you, Zoe. You can go home now. Thank you. Oh, it's time to get into some fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Now, Melissa, you don't have to do any work today, although you do got a lot of names to congratulate. We've got four different people we're going to talk about here, but they can't win because there's a relation to somebody here at this station in one way or another. So we do have a winner, though. We do have a qualifier, I should say, so we'll get to that in a second. First up, want to wish a very happy fourth birthday to Rayan Zerflu.
Oh, happy birthday.
Raina is just an amazing little girl. Just an amazing little human being. Such a joy to Chris and Trista, two of my oldest, and Chris, my oldest friend, and two of my greatest friends. Ray is just one of those kids that's walking sunshine. Like, you can't be around her and not smile. Like, you could have just broke your foot, and you walk into the room, and she's there, and you're smiling. Because you're like, yeah, it hurts, but it'll heal.
You're cute.
She's just a great kid. Just such a wonderful spirit of a child. And Chris, I know Chris has two boys, and he loves his boys. He's such a good father. But he really wanted a little girl. And this was probably going to be his their last kid and everything. So, boy, they hit the lottery on that one. Nice. They got a great one. Happy fourth, Ray.
Happy fourth.
Have a good day. Also want to wish you a happy birthday to my cousin down in Illinois, Sherry Maloff Huffman.
All right. Happy birthday, Sherry.
Sherry's awesome. Sherry has all the greatest qualities of her mom and so many others. Great mom, great cousin, great friend, all those things. Have a great day, Sherry. And also celebrating their 36th anniversary, Chuck and Chris Gennaro.
Oh, happy anniversary, Chuck and Chris.
You all know Chuck around here. If you've been listening to the WFHR for a long time, Chuck's probably the only one that's got you beat in long time listening since he literally grew up in this station. He is our general manager now, certainly the engineer, our main engineer around here as well.
Yep.
You've heard him mention us. You hear him doing the intro to Over the Back Fence.
And appreciate a lot of Misty's Menu commercials.
Chris is amazing. Chris is awesome because Chris can put up with Chuck. No, she's just amazing. She's awesome. And Chuck is an easy, that couldn't be easier. The great couple, happy 36th, you too. And let's see here, 35th anniversary is Coral or Jade. And then it goes to 40th, where it's Ruby. So
Ruby.
I'm not sure what, something in between there. I don't know how the stones go. I don't know the hierarchy of stones. So we want to wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Sydney Lane.
Oh, happy birthday, Sydney.
Enjoy your day, Sydney. Hope it is a great one for you. And thank you to whoever got us Sydney's name. Keep them coming, everybody. You can send your birthdays and anniversaries to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com or direct message us on Facebook. Diving into some celebrity birthdays here. Sierra is 37. R&B singer, got a couple of hits. I know she's married to Denver Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson. Another singer, songwriter, pop sensation, 38 years old for Katy Perry. Dark Horse, Firework, Part of Me, Wide Awake, those are her hits according to this thing I'm reading. I know who Katy Perry is, I just couldn't tell you. Like Roar, I think, is a song, that one I think I know, but I don't really know her. Interesting how Ciara and Katy Perry are just a year apart, not even. Oh. Or, yeah, just a year apart, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, she's pretty popular. I sang a few of her songs in the band.
Yeah. big, really, really one of the earlier people to really talk about bullying in school and doing a lot about it. When I was living in California, Katy Perry went to a high school at a school out in California and would stop there all the time and doing anti-bullying things and stuff, and sometimes unannounced, sometimes just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Craig Robinson is 51. Great stand-up comedian, also a darn good actor. Craig was Daryl on The Office. I've been in a couple of other things, too. One of the greater pitchers I've ever seen, Pedro Martinez, 51 today. Hall of Fame pitcher, won 3 Cy Youngs, won a World Series with the Boston Red Sox. Currently a talker on MLB. I think ESPN or MLB Network, one of them he's on, but everybody loves him. I haven't heard a lot of him, but everybody says he does a great job, and I have no doubt he does. He was always a good interview. Former Daily Show correspondent and Late Show host Samantha Bee is 53.
Ooh.
She is so talented, so funny. She's something. I like her. Let's see here. One of the better drummers any of us will see, Chad Smith, is 61, Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer, who looks uncannily like Will Ferrell. There's some really fun videos of both of them, play, like Will Ferrell dressing up as Chad Smith. And showing up at a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert.
Oh, yeah.
And,
wow.
And they start jamming because Will could play drums as well.
Doppelganger.
Yeah. And they start he starts jamming, and then Chad Smith comes out and like, hey, man, like, it's my gig. Like, it's hilarious.
Cut my drum set.
It's great. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
One of my favorite voice actors of all time, and am I biased? Yes, but she is one of the greats. Nancy Cartwright is 65, the voice of Bart Simpson. that show, her voice made that show early on.
Yeah.
Dan Castellaneta, certainly, Hank Azar, so many of the other greats on there. But you need Bart.
Mm-hmm.
You need that character.
Yeah, and you can't do it without Bart.
And, you know, I think it's a little more common knowledge now, but back in the day it wasn't. Most of the time you had a woman doing a young boy's voice because the young boys have the high-pitched voice stuff. And Nancy Cartwright's amazing. She also does the voice of Nelson Muntz, Rod and Todd Flanders, and the amazing Ralph Wiggum. She's also the girl who got banished to Cartoon Land in Twilight Zone, the movie, back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that part. Maybe I heard it and I forgot. I don't know. Let's see. John Anderson is 78, the only Yes lead singer. Really their main lead singer. I've seen All Good People, Roundabout, Owner of a Lonely Heart, all his. Let's see. Here are some people no longer with us. Helen Reddy, born in this day in 1941, passed away in 2020. I Am Woman singer.
Yes.
Let's see. John Matuszewski. I always mispronounce his name. 1950, passed away in 1989. Ex-football player turned actor. He was Sloth in The Goonies. Died of heart failure at 38. It's a
really?
Shame.
Yeah. Wow. That's young.
One of the legends of country. I mean, literal legend of country. Miss Minnie Pearl, born in this day in 1912, passed away in 1996. The great Minnie Pearl. Big fan of Miss Minnie Pearl. I like a lot of people growing up, watch Laugh-In a little bit. And as a kid, I did not have a lot of experience with country world, the country music, or any of that stuff. But one of the things, because I didn't watch Laugh-In, my Nana Papa watched Laugh-In, and as a little kid,
and
I
so
watched it with them. And I didn't get a lot of the adult jokes and things like that. But I got a lot of the old school, like, vaudevillian kind of humor. The character with the funny hat and these things. And Minnie Pearl was so darn, her comedic timing, like, even as a young kid, I'm like, I like her. Like, it's very, not the same, but very similar to how I felt about Carol Burnett when I watched a Carol Burnett show as a young kid. Like, there's certain people that stand out.
Right.
That
you recognize them.
Yeah, and she just did to me on that show.
Yeah. Sarah Ophelia Conley Cannon was her name.
Wow. It's a pretty name, actually.
Yeah. Huh.
And she was a lot prettier in real life than she got credit for because of the character.
Mm.
But that was something that they note in this article that I'm looking at and different things. And I just thought maybe that's noteworthy. I don't know if it is or it isn't, but I thought I should mention it. One of the greatest artists of all time, Pablo Picasso, born in this day in 1881, passed away in 1973. My mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you will end up as a pope. Instead, I became a painter and wound up as Picasso. One of my favorite quotes of all time. One of the greatest artists of all time.
Yeah.
Take in some Picasso in your life. Get some in there. It's awesome. And one more, just want to mention, Chrissy F. Ampleflight, born in the state in 1959, passed away in 2013. She was a Divinyl singer. Their big hit, I Touch Myself, that was their big hit.
Oh, okay.
And kind of a little bit of a controversial song and all those things back in the day. I mention it because I don't think that there's many things like this in history. It is she passed away, and it has become an anthem for breast cancer awareness after her death. And so this song has taken on a completely different meaning and been really embraced by the Pink Foundations and especially this time of month and year in October where it is breast cancer. It is Cancer Awareness Month and those things. I think that's really cool. Like, I can't think of any other scenario like that where something like that happens, especially where it's a song that's a little racy and all that, and then it actually turns into this real, like, song that builds hope
kind
for
of an
people.
Anthem
Yes. Not even just kind of. It really is. And I think that's pretty darn cool. That's interesting. Yeah. I hope her, you know, her legacy feels good from that, her family, her kids, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
One more time, want to wish very happy birthday to Ray Zerflu. Happy 4th, Ray. Happy birthday to my cuz, Ray Sherry Maloff Huffman. Happy 36th anniversary to the best engineer and program director in the business, general manager in the business, Chuck Gennaro, and his wife, Chris Gennaro. Happy 36th
happy
to you, too. And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Sydney Lane.
Happy birthday, Sydney,
happy birthday,
and congratulations.
Sydney. Enjoy. Head over to Misty's Menu. First, you want to listen to Melissa's News. You can do that in the car while you're on your way to check out Misty's, because they're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a good morning for all of us, from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious baseline to start your day. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us, your Tuesday with us, everyone. Melissa and James here. 8:38 on the clock. And got here an interesting one. 5 health benefits of eating pumpkin.
Ooh.
I want to dive into that, and we teased this one, so we'll dive into it. But real quickly, I do have to add a birthday to the birthday club that I did not know was a one today. Natiana Huckabee.
Oh.
Natiana used to work over at Stober Healthcare with a bunch of us. She, a great actress that we've seen on WRCT stage a number of times.
Nice.
And generally one of the kindest people, greatest hearted people I've ever met in my life. Mm. Wonderful mother, wonderful wife, wonderful friend, all the above. Natiana's amazing. You see her today, or talk to her, reach out to her, wish her a happy birthday.
Yeah.
She's an amazing soul. I'm going to throw her name in the list. We're just going to throw her in there because of that was on me. I should have had that one in there. Now we can go ahead and get to these health benefits of pumpkin. And it starts with pumpkin's awesome. It doesn't need health benefits. It's great as it is. Maybe a little bit of journalistic, you know, maybe I should add to the journalistic
because
part
I
of this.
Said.
Because I love pumpkin so much, I should mention that starting out. But this is an interesting article, and it comes to us at a perfect time, right?
I mean, yeah, it's a great time of year for pumpkins.
We are in pumpkin pie season. As far as pie goes, it's not that bad for you as long as you don't overindulge. Here are a few benefits of eating pumpkin. Number one, it's good for your eyesight. Pumpkins are loaded with vitamin A, which promotes good eyesight and lowers your risk of developing cataracts later in life.
Hey.
So I should definitely never have to worry about that one. And I don't know why I need glasses and contacts and everything. I should have 20/20 vision. The most pumpkin is I've eaten in my life. It boosts your immune system. So I will never die.
Okay. Nick, that's good.
Pumpkins have a ton of vitamin C, too, which helps your white blood cells fight off bacteria.
Yep. Important this time of year.
It is almost as if the earth built certain things into our seasons that help us during those seasons. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
It's almost like we should be looking to the earth for a lot of these things and listening to the earth with a lot of this. It helps keep you limber. Pumpkins are loaded with potassium. When you don't get enough of it, you're more likely to cramp up. Mm. It can also help you maintain a normal blood pressure.
Ooh, that's important.
Honestly, I knew these other ones. I didn't know that about the blood pressure part. Mm. That's interesting to me. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
It's good for your skin. That's right. Take a pumpkin right now, rub it all over your skin.
And then you will be orange.
Nope. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. That is not what they're telling you to do. I jumped
it's
ahead
not
on
a
that
good
one.
Look.
Probably should
really
jump. I probably should have waited on that one. I just read the article first. This is why you read articles. Is what I hope nobody. I love the idea of somebody reaching for a pumpkin right as I told them.
Right.
Like, I'm just kidding. Oh, I wasn't really going to do it. I knew you were kidding. Pumpkins are loaded with antioxidants that protect cells from free radicals or unstable atoms neutralizing them. The unstable atoms neutralizing them slows down the aging process and helps keep you looking and feeling young.
Mm.
And it can help you lose weight. Pumpkins are full of fiber, which helps you fill up, and they're mostly water, so they're low in calories. Less than 50 calories per cup.
Wow.
Just be mindful that pumpkin pie also has butter and sugar.
Yes, it's not just pumpkin.
And its most organic of senses, pumpkin can be so beneficial to your body, so beneficial to you. From what I understand, a lot of the squash families like that.
Yeah, squash is a really good
really
food.
Good for
Plus,
you.
It's fun to say, squash.
It is fun to say. It is fun to say. You're darn right about that.
But yeah, all the recipes we talked about yesterday are such great ways of incorporating pumpkin into your diet in a way that isn't dessert.
Which I enjoyed.
Pumpkin lasagna, risotto, curry. There's just so many yummy ways you can make it.
My mom was listening. Really loves that segment of the show. I have to be specific because she doesn't always love what I do. she loved the pumpkin lasagna. Like that blew her away. She's like, I never heard of this. Like, she looked up a recipe right away and stuff. And like, that's something that she's definitely making. Well, I should say we're definitely making.
I hadn't heard of it either, so I was kind of curious, interested to find that one.
I also understand that it can be. I don't want to assume things here, but from what I've read and hear, squashes, pumpkins can sometimes be a cheaper food source.
The one I bought is bigger than my head, and it was $4.99.
Yeah, that can help feed a family a lot of times. Stuff. So not only is it good for you and can taste good, but there's that part of it too. There's nothing that pumpkins don't do. I mean, they let us turn them into jack-o'-lanterns every year. They roll good, most of them.
They fall good, and you know, when the big giant pumpkin drop.
Pumpkin's a vegetable.
Yes.
Okay. I'm asking rhetorically because I'm not 100% on that. I'm just being honest with the audience. I'm not that smart. It's in my defense. I've never claimed to be smart. In my defense, I thought it was okay. So as far as vegetables go, there's a lot of unfun ones that we eat because they're good for us and that. But this is a fun vegetable. It does all these health benefits, and it comes with a handle. It even has a handle
built
on it.
Built-in handle.
Built-in handle right there for you. Carry it around with you.
Well, and since we're talking about pumpkin today, I brought you some pumpkin.
No.
Yeah, because I found these at Family Natural Food, and all this talk, you know, how much we disparage pumpkin spice and blah, 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 blah. This is a pumpkin spice that is delicious. It's Nature's Bakery Fig Bars.
I'm so happy.
And pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice flavor. And they're delicious. They're really good. Can't recommend them enough. So I brought you one so you can try
that. That was so sweet. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very, very much. Melissa's going to be doing the next couple of segments because I'm just going to eat this and devour it. And I refuse to chew on the air. So thank you, Mel. That's very
welcome.
Nice. I can't wait to try those. And you can try them right now.
All those wonderful health benefits.
All that going on for you. And you can find out even more about them, you know, visiting our friends at Family Natural Foods. They're opening the doors in about 15 minutes. You can stop by there, 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. I know their address by heart, apparently. Wow, that's interesting. Didn't realize that. And we say a good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods and everybody out there. We'll take a quick break, come back, and have some more fun. Interesting stuff coming up here. Got some dating advice, Melissa.
Oh, good.
And mainly because it's just funny. Like, we're not even trying to help anybody. We're just trying to laugh. Coming up on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everybody. And this is kind of funny. Beyond Meat is selling its new fake steak at 5,000 grocery stores across the country. It's called Beyond Steak, and they started rolling it out yesterday. But will the 70% of Americans who love the real thing even try it? 7 in 10 people say real steak is one of their favorite foods, according to a new survey. That includes 75% of men and 65% of women. But this might be our favorite part of the poll. If you order a steak well done on a first date, can you put ketchup on it? You might not get a second date. 34% of people said that they'd judge their date if they ordered a steak well done, and 42% would judge them even more if they put ketchup on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. That's it. Dating's hard.
Yes.
Dating sucks.
It does.
Like, to be that picky about it. That being said, I kind of get this. I kind of get it. I think that if you're dating, if you're on a first, second date, and you're like, man, this is really hitting off. Wow, this is going great. And that's the one, like, that's the one red flag she or he has. Like, count your blessings. But I could.
It's pretty minor.
I could see, though, there's red flag, and then you see this, and this is kind of the one, the tipping point.
The tipping point.
Yeah, that I could kind of get to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a steak connoisseur or anything like that.
I like steak. I would prefer a ribeye if I'm going to order a steak.
Right on. Yeah, I got no problem.
And I usually like it kind of medium to medium rare is kind of my go-to because I like it to be tender.
Yeah.
I don't like chewy meat.
Yeah.
If I'm going to put ketchup on something, it's a meatloaf.
I love working for my food. I love chewing my food. I like doing that. I enjoy chewier foods or things that I have to chew more. I don't know why. I got no rhyme or reason for this. The texture, maybe. I don't know what it is. Steak is, if not the greatest, one of the greatest when it comes to that type of food. It just cutting it up, chewing it, you know, all that. The process, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I have never once in my life put ketchup on a steak, no matter how bad the steak might be.
Yeah, it's got to be real low end cut of meat.
One of the this is actually food on my mom's side of the family. My grandfather, big connoisseur of steak, big class guy, you know, being classy and all these things. And he said he never put ketchup on a steak, and if you do, it's usually an insult to the cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sign to the cook, you didn't make this well. He said the same thing with A1 sauce. Now, I've used A1 sauce plenty of times, but I tend to use it sparingly. I like to taste the meat. I like to taste the steak. So I don't use it. If it's a good steak, if it's cooked right, I don't put anything on it. No salt, no nothing. I just eat the meat. I'm a carnivore.
Yeah, you shouldn't eat it.
If it's a little on the side, then maybe a little A1. But I've never used ketchup. I don't know.
There's a great line in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers that Jane Powell says to Howard Keel, "My stew can stand on its own 2 feet." When he asked for ketchup during their opening scene.
I forgot about that. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
My mom loves that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot all about that scene. Mm-hmm. Wow. So here are some others. Here are a few more all-American steak stats. Our favorite cuts of steak in order are ribeye, filet mignon, T-bone, New York strip, and porterhouse.
Hmm.
Our favorite steak sauce is A1. It got 39% of the vote. Barbecue sauce next at 13%. Worcestershire sauce.
Who puts barbecue sauce on a steak?
I don't know.
That's almost worse than ketchup.
I'm with you. I'm actually with you on that one, yes. Worcestershire sauce at 10%. I have used that a little bit before. I forgot about that.
I use that with seasoning, as a
more
seasoning
so that.
For beef dishes, mm-hmm. but not really on steak.
I don't really use it as a dip or a sauce
Mm-mm.
or anything,
It's really strong.
It is, yeah. But it's really good, though, too. It is really good.
No, it can add a lot of flavor.
You know how good it is because the company has survived by the name, just going
with
by
having the name Worcestershire.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's really good. And 5% said that ketchup is best. 9% of us don't like any kind of seasoning on our steak when we cook it. Wow. Everyone else either said steak seasoning or salt and pepper.
Okay.
I guess I hadn't thought of steak seasoning before. I've used that sparingly a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can be really good if you have to cook it inside because a lot of steak seasonings will have like a smoky aspect to them. So if you can't grill it or smoke it on a grill, the steak seasoning can
right
add that
yeah,
to
yeah.
it.
And I love that. I actually like steak seasoning more on a burger. Mm-hmm. My dad does that.
Yeah.
And he started doing this like a decade ago or whatever it was. And
that's
man,
really
just
good.
So good. Yeah. The best way to cook a steak is on the grill. It's the number one choice by far and away.
Yes.
Cooking it in a pan is second by a ways away. And the oven is third.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Steak is also our favorite food to grill. Chicken is next, then burgers, hot dogs, and ribs. I love cooking it, but I will say that it's maybe, I don't know what my favorite is, but the easiest thing to grill is a hot dog. The hardest thing to cook about cooking a hot dog on the grill is keeping an eye on it.
Making sure it doesn't burn.
Yeah. Medium rare is still the most popular way to order steak in a restaurant. 8% said rare or blue rare, which is almost raw. 35% said medium rare. 21% said medium. 22% medium well. And 14% like their steak well done. I, as a kid, liked my steak bloody because my grandfather and my papa ate it that way.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, I'm pretty much medium rare, you know, yeah. Like most people. I don't mind it a little bit, but I like to, you know, like you were saying before.
I like it to be pink, but not bleeding.
Yeah, and I like to know my meat's cooked.
Yeah, I want it to be warm in the middle.
Yeah, yes, good note. Just under half of us would eat steak at least 3 times a week if we could. That's if health and money weren't an issue. Some of us would push that even with those other factors. I could see myself going to the poorhouse with food, like sometimes when I see some of the foods I like. 64% would choose steak as their final meal, or it would at least be included, like maybe a surf and turf scenario. And I'm telling you, everybody gets the last meal thing wrong. You got to do what you got to go all classy with this. I need a side salad to begin with, and then I need like an entree to start off with, and I get a little bit of time passes so it can settle, and then I go into my main meal, and then I get my dessert.
It should be like a 5-6 hour affair.
Stretch this puppy out,
right? It's your last meal. Make the most of it.
Such a morbid joke. I really hope some people were laughing at that. Mel, you have documented well, and especially the this time of month, you're not a horror movie fan. You don't really watch horror movies or anything like that. I've mentioned we're similar in this, but for opposite reasons. I don't watch them because they're boring to me. I don't really get scared. I don't get entertained by them. I'm taking a lot of time really enjoying the special effects of horror movies and dissecting those. There are so many amazing special effects artists in history. Sometimes the only way to see their work is a horror movie, so I will watch it because of that. And I tick off everybody around me because I'm not jumping with the scares or any of those things. So I kind of just watch them by myself now. I don't
I have to too, because then I just put them on mute.
Nice. It's Halloween season, which means it's also peak horror movie season, whether you like it or not. And everyone knows someone who insists they can't handle a scary movie. I think there's a difference of not liking them and not being able to handle them.
Yes.
It sounds like from you, you can handle them, but
you... I don't know if I can handle them. I don't like them, so I don't... Like, I don't want to subject myself to that. I don't want to take it in.
There's a perfect example of just asking somebody something and instead of assuming and, like, starting to... You're right in front of me. I could just ask you.
I mean, did I handle, like, scary movie okay? Sure. You know, but it stems from Interview with a Vampire when I was a kid.
Really?
Yep. I watched it with my older brother, and the very last scene, spoiler alert, when he jumps up out of the back of the car, my brother scared me at that exact same moment because he knew it was coming, and I, ever since then, scary stuff, no thank you.
It's interesting, too, because most of us wouldn't consider it a horror movie, but you're right, there are horror elements of it, and especially those last scenes. I would have thought it would have been seeing him in the scene before that where he's all ripped up and everything. He's aged. Lestat is aged, and he looks horrible, and he's kind of like that was a little creepier.
That was horrifying.
Yeah.
But nobody was scaring me at the same time happened. Which is what that impression on my developing brain.
I was not a perfect older brother. I tortured my sister and brother, but I didn't do things like that necessarily. Although now that I'm thinking about it, I may have done a little bit of that. I mean,
sibling stuff. Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah. But
I get it. I get what you're saying, though.
And it's okay. I don't need to like horror movies. There's plenty of other movies to watch.
You seem to be doing good without them.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I turned on the television.
So there's a poll on horror movie watching, and fans and non-fans were asked when they prefer watching horror movies, at night or during the daytime. And surprisingly, the people who dislike horror movies are more likely to watch them at night, while horror fans prefer to watch them during the day. So maybe it's less about people being too scared to watch them at night and more about them needing to be in the mood, the right mood for when to watch
these. When do you watch a movie?
The poll also showed that of all the movie genres, horror movies are the most divisive. 25% love them, 24% like them, 22% hate them, 22% dislike them, and no other genre was that evenly split.
Hmm. Interesting.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, people got strong feelings about horror movies.
Not shockingly, yes.
Right.
Stick around, everybody. Coming up next hour to kick things off, we're going to welcome in Rock Larson, Wood County Veterans Services Officer. Rock, Melissa, and I are going to talk about Veterans Toxic Exposure Symposium going on tomorrow with two sessions at Mill Library. They'll be at 2 and 6. We'll get into the details and much more of this with Rock in just a little bit. Coming up on Mornings on WFHR. Well, Heather, you tell them the actual details.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248. DE Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.